Alright, cool. Alright, so before we begin, is it okay if I interview you or record this interview?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And real quickly, would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Destiny Mitchell. I am a senior at the University of Michigan, taking the course Environment slash Psych 360 on climate and behavior.
Very cool. Nice to meet you. All right, so I suppose one of my first questions was just a lighthearted question to get us into it is are you a it's snowing outside, first day of real snow. Are you a fan, or you prefer rain, or like what's your favorite type of precipitation?
I do like rain. Snow, the only issue I have with snow is I hate scraping it off my car.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But otherwise, I do like the winter time because you can open a bundle up, and my birthday's in the winter, so
Very
it's
cool.
always a good season.
It's a good time. That's a good answer. Yeah, the car thing, I totally get that. I had to brush a bunch off my bike earlier today, so. All right, I suppose next question, to kind of dive deeper into the concepts we've been covering this course and talk about the climate crisis and resource descent is, in what ways are, I guess, those phenomena, so the climate crisis and then resource descent, behavioral change associated with attention fatigue and possibly stress as well.
I think the biggest tie between those two is I feel like there's a direct correlation between the climate crisis and stress. And it's more so because of just all the consequences of the climate crisis, such as warmer temperatures, there's exhausting on resources. So for the warmer temperature, with it being almost November, and it was 50 degrees the other
Oh my
day,
gosh, yeah.
that can almost put restrictions, not restrictions, but there's dire consequences to it, especially living in somewhere like Michigan where it's not supposed to be that temperature at this time. I just feel like that, for example, just not as added stress, but that's just, it's a stress because it's something to worry about. Because with warmer temperatures come further melting of, let's say, ice caps and then further rising of sea levels. It's just like almost a chain reaction with a lot of things that come with the climate crisis. So I feel like that stress causes just physical stress away. But then also, I feel like with the climate crisis, there's a lot of mental stress. And especially as an earth and environmental science major, it almost feels dire, because I almost feel like I get questions all the time from people who aren't as well informed, being like, do we really only have till 2030? And then the what's going to happen? Is the world going to explode, or are we just going to die? And I'm like, no, there's just consequences that will happen that will be irreversible, but it's not like it is the end of the world in a sense, but not like end of the world as it's super dramatic in movies in that sense. So I think the added just mental stress of like, am I doing enough on a personal level to not feed into the environmental crisis? Like, oh, I shouldn't be drinking regular milk. I should be drinking alternatives and things like that. I feel like added mental stress and almost anxiety onto the individual as well, which then can reflect into attention and having a hard time kind of keeping your attention on your designated tasks, and then even restoring your attention when you get burnt out from trying to do everything that you have to do.
No, those are great points. I know one thing personally that frustrates me a little bit is when my friends say, like we're doing it like for the planet, like all these different things. It's like, well, the planet's gonna go on spinning. We're gonna be the ones in trouble if these irreversible thresholds are met. So yeah.
Exactly. And like individual impact does make a difference, but to a certain extent. And I've looked into it, I've done the research and things about it too. Like, I could sit here and be full hardcore vegan, this and that. And still at the end of the day, these big companies are dumping oil into the ocean. They are putting plastic in waste. They are emitting more carbon emissions that I personally could ever emit in my own lifetime, right. No matter what. So I, individual impact is important, but the real problem at hand is the higher ups, like the big company.
That's a great point. I know while we're touching on personal impacts and personal agency and climate crisis, resource decline, what are some personal methods that you've used recently to cope with climate crisis and these other phenomena?
I think the best hope is to kind of, for example, like just the added anxiety that it adds, is to deal with that. And there's a lot of like methods you can use, like mindfulness, and you do the mindfulness, like deep breathing activities and stuff like that. Personally, those don't really work for me. So I like to just kind of do other things. Like I like to take walks. I would color. I like to go for drives and just kind of like see the scenery and like listen to music. And like, I think the best thing to do for coping is to do things that bring you joy.
Yeah.
And that way you can relax and take your mind off the things that are stressing you out and causing you anxiety by kind of diving into things that can put a smile on your face.
Yeah, wow, that's good advice. I hadn't thought about driving and looking around at nature before. That sounds really fun, especially because like, you can probably cover more ground that way.
It's nice. It's really scenic, like especially at home, since I am from New Jersey and I do live 10 minutes from the beach. Mm-hmm. A thing I do all the time when I'm home is I'll drive over the bridge, especially during sunset, and then I'll like go sit on the beach, like walk the boardwalk just to kind of change the scenery and stuff. Like that's just super relaxing from, because it's a very like soft, fascinating environment, and it's not an environment that I'm in every day, so it almost feels like a reward.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I suppose after talking about some of those coping mechanisms, what are some of the major challenges that you think those are going to be helpful for addressing with climate change and resource decline and these other big topics and big issues?
So I feel like coping can be helpful and useful, but to a certain extent. Like, I could sit here and I can practice mindfulness every day, but it's not going to stop the climate crisis at the end of the day. I feel like coping and the methods that come with it is for personal benefit, to just help everyone keep going and to not be so burnt out, stressed out, exhausted, no attention left to give. It just almost can be used in a way to just reset.
That's a great point. And so I know you've touched on a few of the specific coping mechanisms or methods that we've covered in this course earlier, but maybe diving deeper into some of like the mindfulness-based practices we've touched on, or other different examples.
So let me think for a second. I'm trying to think of an exact one, but I'm kind of just drawing a blank. I hate to say that.
Well, I know you talked about seeing nature and like either while driving or while walking, like maybe, well, I don't know. Do you go to the beach like during like when you're in town, like what do you usually do at the beach in New Jersey?
So, it depends on the season per se.
Yeah.
Like during the winter, it's obviously the off season. It's a ghost town. So it's really good to just be in nature to just kind of relax and unwind. And I feel like there is a big tie between nature and almost in a way attention restoration. I feel like because you are taking that break and spending that time away from your work so that you can come back refreshed and fully attentive to what needs to be done. In the summertime, it's kind of the opposite because it's very busy. Lots
oh my
of
gosh,
people.
Very. Yeah.
So it's like a tourist nation because there's the restaurants and the people swimming and lifeguards and a lot of noise. So it can work in the same way, but it during the different seasons, it kind of fits both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, that's a good point about the summers being so incredibly busy because of the increase in people or density of people. I know my entire family's from the East Coast, so I get out there quite a bit. And when I'm there, usually go to the beach. And something that like I've done in the past is imagine like if I see like a sailboat out in the distance, like just like imagine like what they're doing. You know, like are they fishing? Are they just out for a drive? I guess, but out for a sail. I don't know what you call it. But
it's interesting, especially in the summertime when it is busy because. Everyone almost has a different agenda. Like, some people are going to the beach to relax. Some people are going to swim and have, like, a fun day and party. Or other people are going there to work and have to do, let's say, manual labor because you'll see the person who's, like, dragging the ice cream cooler cart for miles down the beach.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not, and it's a hot day, like, they're not going there to relax. Like, they're going there to do hard kind of manual work. So it is interesting to see how one environment can be so drastically different for so many people.
That's a good point. I definitely have not thought about, I think, that specific perspective before while going there, because I usually am on vacation while I'm there. So that's something to keep in mind for the future. But yeah, I think we are close to time. So
that's fine. We can just
wrap it up. I can... I'll hit the done button, and then we're supposed to wait, I think, like 15, 20 seconds, right?
Yes.